It's now time for the Satellite Guys podcast. Featuring all the latest news, talk, and rumors from the world of satellite. Plus all the latest headlines from the world of home theater technologies. And now, here is your host, Goalie Bob Nemitz.
And welcome to another exciting edition of the Satellite Guys .us podcast. And you know, Scott, our summer vacation was so freaking relaxing, it wasn't even funny.
Yeah, we had 3 weeks there, but I don't know, Bob. Luckily for you, you got to spend some time with your father, and unfortunately, I hear he's passed away, and I want to give you my sincerest condolences.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way life works. We all live and die, and while it sucks that it's my dad, I wish I could have him here forever, but that's just what it is, so
He's been working miracles since he's been gone, though, because we were talking the other day how there's been no satellite news, and it's crash, here it is.
Yeah, imagine that, 2 days after his passing, and here we go. It started off with the Chase Carey leaving DirecTV, and then the TiVo ruling came down today, so let's go ahead and jump right in with the TiVo ruling.
Yeah, well, the interesting ruling came down from the courts today, and essentially Dish has to pay $103 million. Needs to shut off their DVRs, the affected DVRs, which are not really specified, within 30 days. Now Dish Network has come out and said they're appealing the ruling and they're going to federal court for a stay. So this could play on for a long time still. And honestly, Bob, I just wish Charlie would, you know, do the right thing, settle on this, move on. I'd like to see a Dish Network DVR that has TiVo features in it, personally. And I'm sure a lot of people would, too. Think about the consumer. Think about what's best for your consumer, Charlie. Enough with this childless poker games. Let's move on. Pay TiVo. Work a deal with them. And let's give the consumer what they want.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right, Scott. In fact, this was to be expected, the whole Dish Network coming out and saying we're going to appeal this. But the thing that I kind of realized through this whole process is this is not doing any good for the consumer, and it's not doing any good for either company, as eventually they're going to have such a sour relationship, they're not going to want to do business with each other. And why not just go ahead and put this thing all to rest and let shenanigans and bygones be bygones, and let's get an EchoStar TiVo unit out there.
Yeah, and I know, you know, I know Charlie personally, so I know that Charlie's motivation behind this is pride. He honestly believes that he's 100% in the correct, and I'm not going to argue with the guy and say he's not correct. In fact, the information he's, you know, given to me over the past couple months about it is that this Dish is in the right here. But the courts don't see it that way, and you know, Charlie just needs to swallow his pride and say, I lost, and move on. It's time. You know, these things come out in the news, and it makes it sound like Dish Network's on his deathbed and is about to die because all their DVRs are going on, and it's just not right. This is doing more harm to his company than it would if he would have paid for licensing agreements with TiVo many, many years ago. It's enough, Charlie. You know, I admire your pride and your lack, your honesty, and you're thinking that you're in the right here. But you're not doing your company or your customers any good. It's time to knock the crap off.
Yeah, knowing Charlie like how we do, Scott, Charlie's got to absolutely be floored about this.
I don't think Charlie's got to be absolutely floored with this. You know, Charlie told me, and this was 2 years ago, you know, that he has his checkbook already out and written, and the money's already sitting there, and he's just waiting for the ruling to come down. And that was the last time they had to write a check to TiVo, and he knew it was he was going to lose then. He didn't seem too surprised and said, you know, the checkbook's ready and I'll write the check when the time comes. I just wish he would work with TiVo and write him a check so that could be beneficial for both of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, we're going to go ahead and switch gears. Switching gears real quick.
Okay, yep. We're going to go on to DirecTV now. It's some interesting news is coming out. I'm not really too surprised about it, but a lot of people are. And that news is that Chase Carey is thinking about leaving DirecTV and going to work for his former boss, Rupert Murdoch, at News Corp.
Yep, and the side rumor is that DirecTV might be for sale and AT&T might be looking to buy it. And I know a lot of consumers lately have been complaining because they see Dish Network adding all these HD channels and other services such as Vios and UVerse that have just as much HD as DirecTV, if not more. And they're kind of wondering and scratching their heads, why haven't DirecTV unlit the 13 pay-per-view channels and used that for national and movies combined?
Yeah, well, you know, first let me speak on Chase's behalf or you know, my feelings on Chase. I personally think that Chase has done a great job with DirecTV. In fact, he's done so good of a job, there's nothing really he can do better with the company than he already has done so far. There's no more for him to conquer in the world for DirecTV. He's going to leave the company on top if he does indeed leave, and that's very admirable. And, you know, it also opens up the door, as you said, for a possible sale. Will you bring in new management who can fully do the due diligence necessary to sell the company and make the transition to whatever company they sell to? Chase is not that guy. Chase's job was to clean up, and he did a really great job. And, you know, DirecTV is the number one home entertainment provider in the United States of America, and it's all happened because of Chase's leadership.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Scott. And, you know, a lot of us, we kind of do praise Chase because of the fact that he's done so well with DirecTV. The past two quarters, if not more, or I think there were three quarters, they've had nothing but excellent profit margins with no subscriber loss. And they've also, whereas with this economy, other providers such as Dish is doing nothing but shedding subscribers. He's done a wonderful job, and I don't think there's anything more he could do other than adding additional HD that would kind of be like the cherry on topping.
Yeah, and, you know, as far as the sale goes, you know, you can already see that they're getting ready to do something. With Liberty Media spending DirecTV off into Liberty Entertainment is one big clue there. But the other clues were the clamping down at DirecTV where the expenditures were all being cut. You know, DirecTV pulled out of the Consumer Electronics Show again this year. In fact, they didn't fly no staff down to CES this year, which was kind of disappointing for us because we were scheduled to meet with them and do a couple things. We're actually supposed to do a live Satellite Guys radio broadcast with Chase Carey from the floor of the Consumer Electronics Show. And unfortunately, it didn't happen because they cut all travel to Las Vegas. They cut all expenses. They put on a hiring freeze in some departments, you know, when they didn't have to. But it made the company better. The company's numbers look excellent and make them ripe for whoever out there is going to write them a large check. And I think that's what Liberty Entertainment really wants them to do, Liberty Media. Multichannel News just interviewed John Malone today. And, you know, John was asked about whether AT&T would buy them or someone else would buy them. And he kind of beat around the bush saying that if a sale did happen, it would take a couple of years to finalize. And I believe that to be extremely true. Now, if that is true, hopefully they keep focusing on the customer and not just keep focusing on their books, because if you remember DirecTV the way it was a couple years ago when they only had a handful of HD channels, Dish was just kicking their butt, and they can't fall back and go back to the way they were. They got to keep on pushing ahead there, and I really hope to see that from DirecTV.
Yeah, the way that the marketplace is today with the additional satellite launches that Dish and hopefully DirecTV will be having theirs also, along with the rollout of Fios and UVerse in areas, it's too much of a tight, crowded marketplace to fall behind in high-definition content.
Yeah, so, you know, if Chase goes, we do wish him well. As I say, he's going out on top. He's turned DirecTV into a renegade a cable TV replacement service into a true diamond of an entertainment service. Nobody does entertainment via television like DirecTV does, whether it be for their sporting packages, which they pay a pretty penny for, but they also have so much going for them. The 101 network lately has just been incredible with all the additions of the great programming they've been adding to the 101 channel. and everything they do is just turns to gold. And you know, you can't turn anywhere. You can't watch any sporting event on TV. You can't watch really network television without seeing something from DirecTV. And when you think of the best, people think of DirecTV, and that's a job well done.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that Dish should have been doing that they haven't. And that's kind of where the difference between DirecTV and Dish Network is. As you could tell that DirecTV is a world-class service, whereas Dish Network's kind of a second-tier service.
Yep, and Charlie mentioned at Team Summit that he's looking to make them into a world-class service, but I haven't seen the signs of that yet that that's going to happen. Great management there from Chase Carey, and speaking of management, well, not so great. Let's move on to Mel Karmazan and Sirius XM Radio. Earlier in the week, there was a document posted to the Satellite Guys website, which was an internal memo posted to Sirius XM employees informing them of a new charge that people are going to be seeing on their bill starting on July 29, 2009. And that fee is for royalties on the music. So essentially what that means is up until July 29, 2009, Sirius XM has been paying Sound Exchange for royalties for the music. And as of July 29th, Sirius is no longer paying those fees. Instead, they're passing those costs directly to the customers. So the customers will have to pay those royalties as part of their bill. Now, the problem I have here is that let's just say that the fee is $2, and it's really $1.97 for the first radio. But we're just going to say $2 here. Sirius XM currently is $12.95 a month, okay? And Sirius XM is currently paying those royalty fees. So as of July 29th, they're no longer paying those royalty fees, but you're going to be paying them, and they're not lowering their price. You know, instead of dropping their price down to $10.95 since they're no longer paying those fees, the new price would be $14.95 for your first radio. And to me, that seems, I don't know, almost illegal, since they said to the FCC and the Department of Justice they could not raise the rates on the primary radios. Something really needs to be done about that, and I don't think anybody really cares in Congress right now, and that's unfortunate.
You know, what happens if someone says, I don't want to pay royalty fees because, in fact, I don't want to listen to music anymore. I just want to listen to Howard Stern. So would they be in that Howard Stern's a pay channel and or a channel without those type of royalties? Would they be willing to turn off all the music channels and just leave on the talk channels that have advertising on them? I mean, that's a great question.
Yep. There. Let's see here. I'm going through the little Q&A they have here, and there's actually a question like that. Let's see here. I'm just trying to scroll through here real quick. They say they have no way of telling what stations people are listening to, so it's easier for them to just charge the royalty fees to everyone.
See, that's a wrong answer, because the fact that if I want to listen just to Howard Stern and I don't listen to Faction or Serious Hits Ones or anything else like that, I should be able to have a choice to get that station and not pay those royalty fees, because the fact that I don't listen to that music.
In fact, the exact wording of this internal Sirius document, by the way, I could say that the document is unconfirmed, but sort of confirmed at the same time. They wouldn't confirm the document, but they would confirm the royalty fees to me. But this document here, I'm reading directly from it. The question is, let's see. Jeez, I had right there. I only listen to news, talk, and radio. News and talk radio. So why should I be charged the royalty fee? And the correct answer is, and this is the exact answer from Sirius, and I quote, "I understand. However, it would be impossible to calculate the U.S. music royalty fee based on individual listening patterns of our subscribers," end quote. And that's the way they're handling it. Now, what I want to see is, since both Dish Network and DirecTV carry the music channels, does that mean Sirius XM is going to try slipping in these royalty fees to Dish Network and XM customers as well?
Not only that, Scott, you bring up a great point, too. I believe there was some guys over, I can't remember what site exactly, but they calculated the royalty fees, and the royalty fees that they calculated was something like 6 cents per subscriber, which was a far fetch from what Sirius XM was charging.
Yeah, there's a good thread on XMFan.com, and if you go into the main general forum over there, you'll see a big thread about the royalty fee. And there's a couple of people working in there with Sound Exchange to find out what the actual fees are. However, the one thing that could be leaning in Sirius's favor is that
motorcycle.
That Bob just installed a drive-through window at his house for motorcycles.
But anyhow, I hope he's listening to SiriusXM. I mean, some of those motorcycles have satellite radio on them now.
Yeah, but one of the things that SiriusXM has going for them before the motorcycle came is that they can charge these fees going back to March 2007. So perhaps this higher rate is you know, trying to recoup some of those costs going back to 2007. And that's the way that SiriusXM can argue why they're charging so much for these fees.
Yeah, I'm kind of smelling a class action lawsuit on this because I think somebody out there is going to do it, because usually if it smells like a rate increase or if it smells like a pig and looks like a pig, it's usually a pig.
Yeah, as I say, I wouldn't have a problem if they were charging $12.95 a month and then they lowered their base price to $10.95 a month and charge you the additional $2 in royalties, you know, broke it out of there. But what they're doing is they're not paying the royalty fees anymore and keeping the rates the same and then charging an additional $2. That, to me, is a rate increase. I don't care how you try spinning it, it's a rate increase. I had one of the VPs of Sirius call me up the other day on Friday when I first heard this news, and I called around Sirius trying to get a comment on this. And he was trying to say, you cannot say this is a rate increase because it's not a rate increase from us. Bull crap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they're putting lipstick on the pig, and they're trying to put it in a pink, pretty bowl and try to shove it off as that it isn't, when the fact that if they've been eating these costs for so how long now? I mean, that should have been factored as a part of the base price of the subscription service. If not, what am I paying them a subscription for?
Right, and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you know, this is a rate increase from SiriusXM. It's okay if they don't want to pay the royalty fee anymore, but at least lower your price to make up for what you were paying for the royalties before. You're kicking your loyal subscribers in the face. Your customers have stood behind you through all the bullcrap. You know, your rates just went from $9.95 up to $12.95 and now going to $14.95. That's a 50% increase, if my math is correct in my head here. And again, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but almost a 50% increase in the cost of their service. It's kind of getting ridiculous here, guys. And you know, honestly, Sirius's programming is not worth it anymore, especially since they butchered all the music channels. And I want to talk about that for a second, if I can, because I've actually spoken to somebody else at SiriusXM who thinks that I'm nuts for saying that SiriusXM's programming has gotten lousy. And here's the reason why I think so. I'm coming in as an XM subscriber first. XM subscriber, they had playlists just on the 80s channel alone. I think it was 2,700 different songs playing on the 80s channel. This is pre-merger. After the merger and after they did all the channel changes, the 80s channel has approximately 300 songs they're playing out of the 2,700. Where did the other songs go? Why aren't you playing them? It's gotten so ridiculous. Everything is voice tracked now on SiriusXM. So when you're listening to the 80s channel, and I'm just using the 80s channel as a general one, you know, you have the MTV VJs on there, which is all well done and cool, but none of the VJs communicate with each other. And what I mean by that is you'll have Mark Goodman on, and, you know, the last song he plays is I don't know, Rock Me Amadeus by Falco. Okay, and then next comes Nina Blackwood, immediately following Mark Goodman's show. And three songs later, she plays the song Rock Me Amadeus by Falco again. Because they don't talk to each other and know what each other's playing, and songs are repeated so much when before you could really listen to XM all day and rarely, rarely ever hear a repeat. And, you know, when I was an XM subscriber and before the merger, XM was exciting to listen to. They're always doing special events, special concerts. You made it feel like you were getting your money's worth for SiriusXM, and now all you're really getting from them, and this is my opinion, of course, all that you're getting from them is FM radio without the commercials. That's all SiriusXM is now. The music variety is gone. You know, the songs that made you say, ooh, and I haven't heard this one in years, that's all gone. The special events are all gone. It's just become terrible radio, not worth paying $14.95 a month for. And I don't know why Mel's trying to kill the company, but that appears to be what he's doing. You know, we talked about how great Chase is doing. Honestly, look how crappy Mel Karmazan's doing with SiriusXM.
You know, you're exactly right, Scott. But speaking of Ooh and Ahs and great events, Scott, I understand you're going to have the world-famous Scott Movie Night.
Yeah, we're going to try it. We've done it once before. We did it for a family thing, just to make sure everything worked. But we're going to do our first ever family movie night. We're calling it a family fun night to get around the legalities. And we're going to open up my house here in Newington, Connecticut on June 13th, which is a Saturday. That's 2 weeks from now. And that night, we're going to have ourselves a nice outdoor barbecue, some hot dogs and hamburgers. And Satellite Guys members are welcome to attend. We ask them to bring a plate for the potluck dinner that we're going to have. Bring some chairs and maybe a blanket in case it gets cold outside. And as soon as it turns to dusk, we're going to hit some switches and enjoy some great high-definition movies under the stars here in Connecticut.
Ooh, what movie might I ask?
I don't know yet. You know, we're trying to make it family friendly, so that way, you know, Satellite Guys members can bring their kids and not have them be offended. So it's not going to be anything rated R. And I'm looking to see what's coming out on Blu-ray before then, so that way we have a good high-definition movie, and hopefully not a lot of people saw it yet. So the movie's still to be determined, but it will be a full high-definition movie. And we have a giant outdoor screen. It's a big inflatable screen that blows up to 12 feet in size. And it's going to be a good time, and I'm looking forward to meeting lots of Satellite Guys members from the area. If you're interested, check out our Operations Center forum, and you can find out all the details in there.
Well, Scott, that's the music.
All right, Bob. Well, you take care of yourself, and again, my best to you and your family, and, you know, we're always here for you, Bob.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Scott. And as far as Satellite Guys members, we'll hopefully see you next week with a lot of news.
Hopefully there's news.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Satellite Guys Podcast. If you have any questions or comments about our podcast, you can post them online at satelliteguys.us. Or you can email us at podcast@satelliteguys.us. Also remember, you too can be a part of our next podcast by leaving us a message at 815-907-5558. That number again, 815-907-5558. Go ahead and leave us a message. You just might hear it on our next show. Today's podcast was made possible by DishStore.net. On behalf of the entire crew at Satellite Guys Podcast, we'll see you again real soon.